if this is true, I need to act.
Our bits are better than your sats.
200K, 500K, a million.
Look, as a professional orange pillar.
Well, it doesn't matter what you call these things. You can call them flippity flops.
Do you think people think we're vagabonds?
Because you also work with real drug dealers. So you know what real drug dealers are like.
Flippity flops.
But anyway, this is the Bitcoin podcast.
You're listening to Flirting with Bitcoin, a weekly chat with my very interesting husband about Bitcoin and how the world and our family's life is better because of it.
It's season four, and we've moved to Noster City.
So my Bitcoin lessons are done?
Your Bitcoin lessons are never done.
So what does new social media have to do with it?
Babe, Noster is more than social media. If Bitcoin is the new money, Noster is the new internet.
You really think so?
I do. I believe Noster will drive the next wave of Bitcoin adoption. So Noster City is where we need to be.
We?
Yeah, of course we're bringing Keon. You got your bags packed, buddy?
Yes.
Good job. Don't forget to pack your NPub.
Let's go. Hey, Ian.
Hey, Mandana.
We haven't recorded in a minute.
It's been almost a month.
In a month. But it's good to be back. We are excited to report that we have potty trained Keon. Really exciting. Really exciting turn of events. Shout out to Ian for not giving up because I was ready to.
That's a shame you were ready to give up. I don't think it was hard.
I know. Yeah, once we removed the rug, it got a lot easier, but potty trained Keon. Ian painted our living room, and what else did we do, babe? We worked on the yard. I'm saying we, but Ian did it with my cousin Cheyenne. Shout out to Cheyenne. We've just been like getting ready for the summer, getting ready to, I think, take advantage of our yard, our home, enjoy this new life that we have thanks to Bitcoin, where we get to be together more often and finally enjoy our home.
Yeah, sounds great.
Sounds great. To feel great, you're living it.
I mean, I've been living it longer than you.
That's true.
So I think you're experiencing it for the first time.
I had
this last year.
I know. Even today, like today is Monday and I dropped Keon off at my parents and I was really tired, like, you know, Keon woke up early and I, you know, we just go the second I had woken up. And so I was like laying on my parents' couch and I was like, I should go. And I was like, why should I go? I don't have to go right now. And I just like laid on their couch for 10 more minutes. And it's like moments like that have just been really, you know, retrain your brain. Retrain your brain to be able to do, you know, what you want, when you want, within reason. But just the opportunity to like rest is, yeah, it's transformative. You finally have a moment to like look at your walls and say, we should paint this. What's up, you know? And knowing that I can just take that idea, walk over to you, and if you agree, like we can just make it happen and kind of remove whatever restrictions we have in place to make something happen. It's really cool. It's really cool to keep living that experience over and over again.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here with me. I've been walking past the wall saying, oh, we could paint, but I ain't doing it.
So what was different this time?
You asked.
Oh, you're so sweet. You're such a sweetie.
I can't just go pick a color and paint the walls and like, this is happening. Yeah. Like, that's not how this works.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You had a chance to breathe. You saw the walls for what they were, and you were like, we should paint these. And I was like, you pick the color. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not debating colors with you, but I will paint the walls.
It was pretty cool. I will say, I tried to get AI to help me pick the color on the walls, but it's
Mandana
not.
Mandana has become addicted to AI.
Well, I'll always give it a shot first.
Mandana got addicted. You know how they say
intervention.
When people go to Europe, they come back and they're like, oh, in Europe, they do things differently. Well, she brought back AI. So she does everything with AI now. And she's just like, it's very interesting. I've been enjoying watching it. So I'm glad that you brought up that you asked AI to help you pick a paint color.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. So I asked AI. So we have these curtains that I had these lovely interior, if you ever need interior designers in Washington, D.C., they picked these curtains for us that are this like dark blue, beautiful color, and actually feels very bold. And anytime someone's in our house, they're like, oh, wow, these curtains, the color, I love the color. Because like we're millennials, it's millennial gray. Everything is gray, right? Our walls are like, we're a white gray. And so I thought, okay, I just want a color match against those. We know that color works against our everything else in our on our floor. We have open floor layout, right? So I ask AI, and AI is like giving me answers, but they don't even know what they're talking about. And eventually it admits like, well, I can't really see this color. It's very fascinating how limited it was. So then I had to call like multiple companies to talk to multiple humans, set up a phone call. And it was so fascinating where I was like, this is the artistic side of life where you need humans. And then, like you said, you don't want to be like picking out colors with me. But I was able to kind of do what I wanted the AI to do for me, which was like narrow it down to four, get the samples, actually look at it and make a decision. It was fascinating. It was a fascinating experience of like what the limitations are and how important and helpful the people that are employed by the companies that I was reaching out to, like how important their jobs actually are. I was like, these people are going to be fine. They don't need to worry about AI. Not yet, anyways. Who knows in 6 months?
Yeah, so this is episode 20. Next episode is the last episode of the season. And I'm pretty certain the next season is going to be all about AI. I'm just calling it now, like flirting with AI. Like, let's just get it over with. Like, you've become addicted.
Really?
Yes, Mandana.
More than you?
I use AI to work out ideas. It is not the place that I go to like give me opinions on things. You're asking it to help you pick out a color as if it can have an opinion about something it can't see. Like, yeah. I would never approach software to do that, but you did. And that's just funny to watch because it's like, okay, well, have fun on that journey, you know? Yeah. But no, like in our starting up Next Block and using AI to like run the company, and I have been interacting with it a lot. And I have been having some very interesting like back and forth with it a lot on ideas that I have. I've come to the conclusion that what you just said is pretty much how this is going to play out. Like the creative side, the like down in the weeds, actually getting the thing done, like AI is not going to be able to replace that ever. But what it can replace is like the upper echelons of corporate America. Mm-hmm. Like if your job has like a regulation book that you need to follow, mm-hmm. right? And like your job's been written about for like the last 50 years is like, here's the best way to be a CFO. Like your job is very replaceable by AI, like very.
Yeah.
And so it's just funny that like, you know, all these companies and all these CEOs are out here saying how it's going to like revolutionize everything. And now me actually using it, I see it as somebody is going to create a product as a service where you start a company and you give them like $100 or $200 a month and they are your C-suite.
Yeah.
Like that's coming in the next 2 to 4 years, guaranteed. And so then why would I ever have like, when would you ever see a job posting for like, we need a CFO of this startup? It's just not going to exist. Mm-hmm. Like that's what's coming. And so your experience with this paint thing is like a version of that, right? Like it can't replace like the artistic thing of like these colors go together. But what exactly. it can say,
fabric, right? To match a paint with a fabric. And even the woman was explaining to me why it is challenging. And while she's like, I have to go think about it and then I'll send you some options. And how different one of them were from all. It was just very fascinating just to experience all of that, right? On something that I don't know much about, if anything.
Right. Because the way that AI would do that is it would need like hundreds of millions of people having that exact interaction and then give you the aggregate. And then try to find out where in that aggregate you personally lie. And then it would recommend those, right? Like it would need examples of people have actually done those things. It can't just like have a creative eye. Mm. So like, that's what I'm learning from using this is like, if you're a plumber, if you're an electrician, y'all know your jobs are safe, but like the people that think their jobs are safe are the ones that aren't. But anyway, this is the Bitcoin podcast. So,
So babe, back to Bitcoin. What time is it?
The current time is 899-511, and we're approximately 3,552 blocks since our last recording.
And if I gave you one US dollar, how many acres could I get on sunny Bitcoin Island?
Today, you could get 960 acres, aka Satoshis, and allegedly bits on sunny Bitcoin Island.
We'll talk about that stuff later. I feel like the excitement of 100K is gone, and now it's just the new normal. Is that too soon to say?
I mean, considering what's probably about to happen to the financial world this year, I would say it's the new normal. And that's why, like, there's certain YouTube channels you can watch where they can still kind of like be excited for 100K. But most people are just like 200K, 500K, a million. Really? Like, it's going to explode this summer. Yeah. Like, it's like we see this like financial thing that's playing out in front of us. And some people are in extreme denial that it's happening. And then other people are Bitcoiners. Like, that's the two.
Right?
That's the division in society right now.
And with that, Bitcoin is getting more and more mainstream. So that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how it's becoming more normalized for the normies, you could say. And I think the maybe identity crisis that Bitcoin is going to continue to have as mass adoption takes over, right? I think starting a Bitcoin company ourselves, whether or not, you know, we have a whole episode about whether or not we're a Bitcoin company, but like, how do we compare to how everyone else is, you know, the corporatization of Bitcoin, whatever you want to call it. You know, we are in new times, I think. It's more normalized than ever before in a way that I don't think anyone was even prepared for a year ago. So it's interesting times ahead, babe.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Get the power back. Get the freedom back. Get an M-pub and just start with that.
So there was a Bitcoin conference that just happened in Vegas. We weren't there. I have a little FOMO about it.
We were potty training. We were doing something.
We were literally potty training. Yeah,
we were doing something
yeah.
important.
Something very important. But a lot of FOMO, a lot of cool people that we've met in the past year were down in Vegas. And because we were potty training, I actually was unfortunately not on Noster enough to really know the fun stuff that happened or how it all went. I didn't get to monitor it the way that I've monitored other conferences, but
we're calling Sats bits. That's all you need to know.
Was that a topic of conversation at this conference?
I mean, that's all I caught from
Noster. Oh, really?
That's all I caught. Like, that was the only thing.
The Bitcoin side of the conference. The Noster side, the Noster booth looked really cool. So shout out to all of the people that ran that, just doing the Lord's work, spreading the good gospel of Noster. And two Bitcoin conferences last year that Ian and I went to, anyone that like really took the time to stop at a Noster booth and talk was like, wow, this is the coolest thing I'm hearing about at this conference. And it just doesn't seem like any other major thing was announced, right? Like I bet you Noster was still the coolest thing at that conference.
I mean, I'm biased to that, right? Mm-hmm. So I would say, yeah, it probably was. I think that like there hasn't been any major like technological advances in Bitcoin, mm-hmm. right? So like Lightning was a pretty big thing, and I think Lightning is kind of standardized. There's a
Cashew
isn't really for the Bitcoin conference, mm-hmm. right? Like in a perfect world you wouldn't need Cashew, right? So I think Kale was speaking at the Human Rights Foundation conference instead.
Yeah, right? I watched his presentation. Yeah, it was good.
And so like so Cashew, for example, isn't at the Bitcoin conference, right? And so I just don't see like a lot. I don't see like a big Lightning type of technology or anything like that happening. So I just don't see anything really new happening with Bitcoin from the technology side. It all seems to be from like you said, the money side of things, mm-hmm. the financialization of it all. And that's great. That kind of helps obviously that helps the number go up, right? But like that helps
the price of Bitcoin, but also the amount of people that are using it or have access to it, right?
Well, yes. Like now you could basically buy Bitcoin on the stock exchange, right? Mm-hmm. Like fundamentally, that's what's happened in the last 4 years, right? Mm-hmm. Is you can now buy Bitcoin on the New York Stock Exchange mm-hmm. if you want to. You're not buying real Bitcoin, but if you want to tell people that you're participating in the Bitcoin thing that they've been hearing about, they have a very easy way to do it. Hence, making it easier for normies and this sanitation that we're talking about. But when it comes to like new technology in Bitcoin itself, I mean, maybe I'm forgetting something, but off the top of my head, I just don't think there's anything new. And I think that Nostr is that thing, right? Like you can zap people Bitcoin on Nostr. Like
Nostr's the it girl at the conference.
It is and it isn't, right? So like people have to know that it's there and have to go to the booth and want to talk to you. If they don't know what it is, then they have to wander by, right? Because they're probably not looking for it. And if they do know what it is, they're probably there to hang out. So like the like that's what I experienced at the conference, at least, is that like it is like a subgroup within the subgroup, right?
Yeah.
And so I think the reason why what you said, like people are like, oh, wow, this is like the coolest thing I've heard, is because it's actually new technology.
Right.
And so a lot of us at the end of the day are technologists. So it's like, yeah, we like to hear about Michael Saylor and the strike and the strife and the all these Bitcoin torque and all these things. It's like, it's cool. Okay, whatever, dude. But like, where's the new tech?
Yeah. And I think because of that, these conferences have become more interesting in terms of who attends, right? And who speaks. And at this one, I think Donald Trump's son spoke, Marsha Blackburn, is that her last name? That senator. There were like a lot of politicians, American politicians that are like in the majority holding power right now.
American politicians are realizing that this is a winning issue and you're going to see their presence more and more in the Bitcoin space over the next 4 years. This is a winning issue for you in a lot of districts that it's probably not going to be a Republican versus Democrat fight. It's going to be a Republican versus Republican fight. And there's going to be one Republican that's saying the old ways are fine. And there's going to be another Republican saying, no, we need to go with Bitcoin. Like that's, I think, the big fight that you're going to see in a lot of these political spaces. So they want to come. They want to have that cachet. They want to say I was there. They want to say, like I said, in 2025 at Bitcoin Las Vegas, like, you're going to see that more and more for sure. Yeah. And the Trumps are always going to be there now. Like
exactly. And with that, there's like, of course, that criticism of people that are coming into the Bitcoin community, if that's like the broad term we want to use, they're not real Bitcoiners. And so is the consequence of we've at length talked about what is a real Bitcoiner, a Bitcoin max, all of that stuff. But I think that just introduces a lot of conflict or disagreement amongst Bitcoiners about like, well, what's like quote unquote good for Bitcoin when more people start seeing that like it's a winning ticket for whatever is driving you. Bitcoin like helps you win.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not even that Bitcoin helps you win. It's that Bitcoin finds you allies, right? So like there are a lot of people, for example, that understand the fundamental problem. There are people in the world that can create money out of thin air. Mm-hmm. That is like the fundamental problem. How you go about stopping them, how you address that is where we have our differences.
I guess I'm surprised to hear that you think that anyone who's like participating in Bitcoin believes that, because there are a lot of people who just see Bitcoin as like a good asset to have, just like any other stock, right? There are a lot of people
right,
who are treating it that way.
Right, but you acquire assets because you understand that problem. You just want the best assets.
Yeah, and you think this is one of them, but you're still diversifying, or you have altcoins, or you do NFTs and all of those things.
My point is that whether you're diversified or all in on Bitcoin, if you are an investor, if you are trying to preserve wealth, if you're trying to pass wealth to the future to your kids or whatever, you are taking steps to try to hold on to as much money as possible to pass on, whether that's real estate or stocks or whatever. You are acquiring assets. That's all it is. I want to hold something for a period of time that will be the same or worth more in the future. You will eventually come to Bitcoin one way or another, not because you think Bitcoin is like the best solution, but because I want the best solution and it just keeps beating all my other choices. Right. And I think that's where we are right now. Is
but what about all of these crypto companies that participate as well?
Name a company. That's a very vague statement.
Oh, you know, I'm thinking about like the companies that were doing all that ordinal stuff that we saw in Amsterdam.
They're charging people in Bitcoin. Like they are trying to acquire Bitcoin.
Okay, right? I see.
Like
I
they're
see.
Running
I
a company to acquire Bitcoin. Even if it's to scam people out of their Bitcoin, they're trying to acquire Bitcoin.
Fair enough.
Right? Like even if they plan to acquire Bitcoin to then turn it into dollars, they still understand that getting Bitcoin is a way to get dollars, right? Mm-hmm. So everyone fundamentally wants Bitcoin because it will get you something else, right? Like it'll either get you dollars or euros or yen, or it'll get you Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. But what we're seeing in the world today is that there's a lot of people that are saying, yeah, but like, I don't want dollars, mm-hmm. or I don't want euros, or I don't want the British pound. And it's for the same reasons, because it's like, if I hold this, then my problems become more exaggerated, right? And so what you're seeing today, I think, especially at this conference, is very sanitized, very like, I mean, even in the last ones that were in Miami, very corporate, you know, whatever. I think all of Wall Street basically was speaking there, right? Like just more and more Wall Street and out the right, politicians, yeah. right? All of that is because they are trying to save face. That is the way that I see this. They all told us, their class of people told us for at least a decade that our asset is for criminals and pedophiles and money launderers and drug dealers and all these bad people. And now they are all standing amongst us touting its virtues, right? They don't want to be on the wrong side of this one. They're willing to be on the wrong side of a lot of other things for personal gain.
So that threshold has passed.
Being on the wrong side of Bitcoin, well, you will not personally gain from being on the wrong side of Bitcoin. And that's what I think you're seeing right now, is all of the people that really understand how this world works and how this game is played out, they've looked at it and said, just like I did sitting on the couch in our apartment, if this is true, I need to act. Mm-hmm. And they're all acting. Mm. That's all you're seeing. They all sat on their couches and watched their YouTube, right? They came to their conclusions and now they're at Bitcoin conferences, you know? It's all this, you got to go through the, it's a journey for everyone, but it's the same journey.
It's not a humiliation ritual?
I don't think so. I mean, like you kind of have to kind of push your ego aside and go out mm-hmm. there and, you know, take the hits of like, well, didn't you say, or, you know, well, I, you know, you got to go out there and take that. It's not necessarily a struggle session, right? But it's still...
Is there anyone you're thinking about in particular as you're describing this?
I mean, the biggest example of that is Larry Fink at BlackRock.
Right.
Like he was the one that said it was for money launderers. Right. And now he's selling it to his clients. So what? Are you the drug dealer now? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Right? Because you also work with real drug dealers. So you know what real drug dealers are like, right? All these guys, Larry Fink is the, you know, the pinnacle of that. But they're all suffering from the same problem, which is I got on board with the politicians because they told me to say this thing, say it's bad, you know, yada, yada, yada. And I did that. And now I look stupid. So I'm going to push them aside. I'm going to go talk first. And now the politicians are coming behind them. Mm-hmm. But they were saying what the politicians were telling them to say before. That's my take on it. And why they were telling them to say that, you know, the dollar and banking and all that fun stuff, yada, yada, yada. But it was the politicians that were like Elizabeth Warren that were screaming these things. Mm-hmm. And then they'd bring people in front of them and they would like kind of, oh yeah, I mean, I guess there's like, there are some drug dealers that are using it. So I guess it's for drug dealers, you know, it's like,
yeah, I don't think that it's near mainstream yet, but I do think that more and more it's being accepted as a real thing and not a fad.
Yeah.
Just because it's been around for long enough. But like, in all seriousness, I do think that we should talk about the bits versus sats discussion, because it is interesting. And I think it's very easy to be quick and dismissive of it. But who knows? Who knows what will happen? We have no idea if in the next, what, like 6 months, something can happen. And yeah, Bitcoin does blow up. Bitcoin goes to 500,000. Bitcoin goes to 1 million. And then, I don't know, Venmo decides to call it Bits.
Okay.
Or Visa, right? One of these gigantic companies just in their app calls it Bits instead of Sats. Mm-hmm. They can absolutely influence and change what it's called.
Yes and no. So there's a big difference between the United States dollar and the Bitcoin single unit, whatever you want to call it, right? Because even the dollar isn't a single unit. It's 100 pennies, allegedly, right? But we can get into that after the break.
Get the power back. get the freedom back, get an M-Pub, and just start with that.
Welcome back. This bits versus sats conversation, let me try to explain it because you explained it to me. You explained it to me offline. We call, currently, most Bitcoiners call the fraction of a Bitcoin a Satoshi. And that is to honor Satoshi Nakamoto, who is the person that wrote the Bitcoin white paper.
I would simplify it more than that, but we can stick with that.
Okay. So yes, that is a unit of Bitcoin. And there are other people who think that we should not call it Satoshis or Sats, and we should call it Bits. The reason for that is because, right, it makes more sense. But then there's also people that believe that what we call Satoshi is what we should have been calling a Bitcoin, because people were never going to be paying for things with one Bitcoin. They were always going to be paying for things the fraction of what we call a Bitcoin. Am I explaining this right?
You're close. I'm okay. Just going to, when you're done, I'm just going to.
I feel like early days of flirting bits with Bitcoin where like you've taught me something. I'm like, I don't know. Can you tell me again?
So everything you said is correct. The last part is just slightly off. And so the point is that unless you've looked at the actual code for Bitcoin, you might think that in the code, they're called Satoshis. You
fair
might
enough.
Think,
fair
that,
enough.
Right? In the code, they are not. In the code, there is no decimal point. Right. So there's no decimal point in the code. We, as the Bitcoin community, the people that were using it, decided to group 100 million of them and call that a Bitcoin. And then we created places where you can buy and sell these Bitcoins. So when everyone talks about like, oh, I remember when Bitcoin was a dollar, they were really saying, I remember when 100 million of these little integers in this software program were worth a dollar, right? And so I don't know exactly when it happened, but people started calling those fractions Satoshis and or those units Satoshis. And I don't think anyone in the first decade of Bitcoin had a problem with that. Like, why would you? Like, his name is on the white paper. Their name is on the white paper. They seem to be a human at some point. They were having conversations with people on the internet. As far as we know, before the advent of these like really sophisticated AIs, now that might be completely off base and they might have had very sophisticated AIs in 2008. Yeah. That's possible.
We don't know.
There's reason to believe that, but that's besides the point. But more importantly is that calling it Satoshis is nothing more than a social contract. Right. There's no regulatory body that says you have to call it Satoshis. It is just a decision that the group made. And there might have been a few dissenting voices, but for the most part, the consensus was that we will call these Satoshis going forward. What we're seeing today in this debate is that it is not the majority, in my opinion. It is not consensus to call it bits. It is just more convenient for a corporation to call them bits to sell their product, because if they call it Bitcoin and BTC, their customers feel like they can't afford it, right? So when we talk about how many acres, aka Satoshis, and we say you can get 1,000 for a dollar, that feels very affordable to people. And they would like to call it bits so that they could say you could get 1,000 bits for a dollar. What's a bit? It's a fraction of a Bitcoin. Okay, that makes sense. But you are breaking, in my opinion, the social contract. You're allowed to do it. There's no regulatory body. You will have a piece of software that uses the words bits. Nobody can stop you from doing that, right? Like, we can't come in with lawyers or there's no court to adjudicate this. Do whatever you want. But what you are saying is that the people that currently call it sats, they will probably not use your product. So you plan on bringing in all new people to this Bitcoin thing. And you plan on educating them with new language. And when they go on the internet and they read all these write-ups and everyone's saying the word sats, they're not going to know what they're talking about, right? It's basically a soft fork of Bitcoin. Well, you'll have a certain segment of the population that will understand Bitcoin and bits and you'll have another segment of the population that understands all of them, Bitcoin, bits, and sats, and mocks the people that don't understand sats. Mm-hmm. And you've created like your first like subculture of the naming of the thing inside of Bitcoin, which is bound to happen.
I know. It's like, it's totally going to play out this way.
Yeah, this is what's, don't get me wrong.
Visa could 100% do this. They could even be like, our bits are better than your sats.
Probably. They'll probably do that, yeah. Right? But the point is that the difference is in Bitcoin, because no one's in control, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You just sound silly and you sound very opportunistic because you're basically saying it's too hard to educate people to what like millions of people are already doing. That's too hard. So we want to create something brand new and educate people to that. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to have any help from any of the people that have done this. That's, I think, the real debate. At the end of the day, is you're breaking a social contract, you're free to do it, but we're not going to go along with it. And that's my stance on it. It's like, it's not about Satoshi Nakamoto per se. Like, it's not about the person. It's about you're making a crypto on the blockchain, on Bitcoin, by just picking a different name.
I mean, it's interesting that you feel that way because I think that this falls in line with the similar criticisms that we've always talked about that companies like Strike have because they require KYC.
No, Strike requires KYC because they interact with banks. When you deposit, when they have cool features like get your paycheck deposited here, or you can ACH money in or wire transfer, Strike is interacting with a bank. If Strike didn't have to do KYC, they wouldn't. They started out not doing it, right? It's because they're interacting with a legacy system. That's being forced on them. No one's forcing them to use the word bits.
So companies that use KYC because they legally have to.
If you interact with the United States banking system, you have to use KYC.
They're not forking Bitcoin?
No, that has nothing to do with Bitcoin. Like KYC and Bitcoin are two totally separate things. They're KYCing you because within Strike, you have dollars and Bitcoin. It's that dollars part. Mm-hmm. That brings in the KYC.
Yeah.
If you want Strike to not allow you to deposit dollars, I don't know how they're going to buy it, let you buy and sell Bitcoin. So if you're not willing to like, for example, you could go on the hardcore way, right? Like you could go on RoboSats and you could say, I want to buy Bitcoin and I want to pay with Amazon gift cards. Mm-hmm. You could do that. It's not convenient. You can't smash buy Bitcoin with an Amazon gift card. It's just not, it's just not as fulfilling, number one. And number two, like it's a process, right? You could have that experience or you could have Strike where you just get your paycheck deposited and it's converted into Bitcoin right away and you can the convenience of it all. Well, with that convenience comes KYC. If you don't want the KYC, you get less convenience. That's just where we are if you're a person that's working for dollars still and converting. But
changing a name is not convenient.
Changing a name is not convenient.
Bits to sats or sats to bits.
No. Strike is doing that to comply with the law so they can continue to provide you convenience. I don't even know which company is like floating this idea of bits. Like that's how
I don't know. I think this is a rumor we made up.
It's not a rumor. It's not a rumor. I think it was Jack Dorsey and Square, and that's why everyone's like up in arms too. If I recall correctly, I'm pretty sure I'm quoting like a very popular person's post. So I'm pretty sure it's Jack Dorsey and Square. But the point is that changing sats to bits is not a legal compliance. They're just choosing to do that. Whoever this person is, they're just choosing to do that. And all I'm saying is you're fine to do it, but the backlash that emerged, you obviously expected that and you're okay with that. Mm-hmm. And that's where we should just all leave it. Like they understood the backlash was going to happen. They still came out and said they were going to do it, which means basically F you, we're going to come out on and say this out loud, right? So like we know how you people are going to react. We don't care. That's fine.
That means that there had to have been a lot of research that found that Satoshi's is going to be really hard for people to figure out whether or not that is a reason to do it. That's my assumption.
I can do research that says I should make any decision I want to make, especially when you're a multi-billion-dollar company. Mm-hmm. Like you can pay someone to produce research that says, yeah, change it. It'll be easier. However, That is insulting to like humanity. That we're unable to grasp the concept that something is named after someone. Why? Because they created it? Mm-hmm. Like, that's too hard to understand? No, 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 no. I call BS on it. I call BS. They're trying to create a crypto. Or better yet, and this is why I was saying it's inevitable. And I think this whole argument will make more sense when Bitcoin crosses $1 million. Right now, it's very silly, right? Like, it is what it is. But when Bitcoin's at $1 million, Bitcoin needs to do what the historical financial system would call a stock split, right? They need to just bring down that big number, which will make people feel like they didn't miss out. A famous example of this is Apple. So Apple, when Steve Jobs came back, their stock ran up. I forget how high it ran up. But basically, like, they did a stock split to bring it down below $100, right? And this was around the time when they were doing, like, you could get a free song on iTunes with the bottle cap from Coke.
Okay.
And those bottles of Coke used to cost $1. So it was basically like you get a song for $1.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought their price of their stock to almost be in line with that promotion as well. Tesla is the more recent version of this, right? And I said this to you the other night, right? Tesla's done a bunch of stock splits over the past 10, 15 years. If they had never done a stock split, Tesla would be at like $7,000 or $8,000, $9,000 a share right now. Instead, it's like 200 and something.
Mm-hmm.
And my former coworker that, you know, kind of got me into trading and Tesla and all that fun stuff. You know, we were joking about it. He was like, I didn't buy all these shares.
Yeah.
Like, he has like a pile of Tesla shares from like trading them for 15 years. And he's like, I didn't buy tens of thousands of shares,
yeah.
Like, you know, but I have them.
Yeah.
So like, if you don't have,
I'm surprised he hasn't sold them.
He's super up. It doesn't matter. He just,
yeah.
He's to him, Tesla and Bitcoin are, I'm assuming, you know who you are. I'm speaking for you, but I'm assuming to him, Tesla and Bitcoin are basically the same thing at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he got in super early at Tesla. And so he's mm-hmm. up just
yeah,
as much,
yeah,
not as much sure. as he would have been if he was in Bitcoin.
Right.
But like, every time you kind of compare the two, it's like, well, I'd really be silly to like complain about how much I'm up and try to go jump into this other thing that I don't really know and I haven't been paying attention to because I've been paying attention to this other thing that I'm doing really well at. But yeah, so stock companies do what's called a stock split. And they do it for a lot of reasons, but the main reason is to like bring liquidity into the market so that more people can afford to buy a fraction of a share, right? It's no longer a fraction of a share. It's actually a share because they do a 2-for-1, 3-for-1, 10-for-1 split, yada, yada, yada. Bitcoin's going to need to do the same thing. It'll probably be that you go on Coinbase and you go on wherever and you are no longer buying fractions of a BTC. You are buying these individual units and they will have a name. And it is probably that corporations will choose to call those units bits. I understand that. But what I'm saying is that you're going to have to represent that differently regardless. You're going to have to call the ticker BTC to mean 100 million of these things. And you're going to have to call the BITS, right? To mean the fraction, right? They're going to have to do something to differentiate the two. Otherwise, the price of BTC just went from $1 million to $1.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to fly.
Yeah.
So my point is that they're just trying to bring forward that reality. That's fine. All I'm saying is there will be some exchanges where you buy SATS as the ticker and other exchanges where you buy BITS as the ticker. And in that moment, we now have Bitcoin that looks like two different cryptos.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. And so that's almost the equivalent of Bitcoin and Bcash, except for they're on the same blockchain. They are the same thing, but they will be very different to people. And there will be boomers that are saying, I got me some bits, right? And there'll be people like me that are like, oh, you mean sats.
So it sounds like this is inevitable and we should even like encourage it if it just means like whatever. If it just means these other people will get on, then they get on.
Well, this is my point, and this is why like I don't have a conspiracy to put forward. I'm just saying that they are trying to bring forward that inevitability. They're like accelerationists, right? They are accelerating towards that future. Let's just start the argument and the fight today because it's going to happen in the future anyway. That way we can argue about it in the public for like 4 or 5 years before mm-hmm. we hit $1 million. And then by that point, we'll have decided if it's bits or sats. That's like the, I attribute no malice. That's just what they could be doing.
And how, I mean, how else does decentralized technology evolve?
Right.
If not this way.
All I'm saying to tack on to that is it's insulting to humanity to say that people can't understand that something is named after the creator of it.
Yeah.
That's all.
Absolutely.
Like, it's nothing about the language. It's nothing about the words. It's nothing about that. It's saying that you think humans are too stupid to say that I understand something is named after the creator. We live in Washington, D.C. It's named after the dude.
Not even that. We have dollars and we have cents. Like, it's not.
Regardless.
They don't need to. It didn't need to be dollars and dents, you know?
But it's not. It's not like.
But I do think bits sounds cute.
It's not. It's not like people don't understand that things are named after the creators. We have companies that are named after people that created other stuff that they didn't even create. I was just talking about Tesla. No one asks where that name came from. They just go, oh yeah, Tesla, that guy that made a bunch of stuff. What did he make? A bunch of electric stuff. Oh, and they created an electric car company named Tesla? That makes sense. They don't go, why didn't you name it magnets that spin in a circle?
Maybe because it doesn't LLC. Maybe because it doesn't sound American. Are these like, is this an American idea?
We're not calling them Satoshis. We're calling them Sats. That's another part of this argument. It's that it's not even specifically Satoshis at this point. It is purely Sats, right? It's like the moniker that Odell has like coined, like stay humble and stack Sats. Mm-hmm. Doesn't say stay humble and stack Satoshis. Doesn't say stay humble and stack Nakamotos. Not even his full name. It's just an abbreviation of his name. And if anyone asks the question, you go, oh, it's short for the first name of the creator of the thing that's making you not poor. And you go, okay, cool. I want some of those then, please.
I love how you have acted very like whatever about this thing. You didn't even want to talk about it too much. And now you're like riled up.
No, I'm riled up. I'm riled up because we have to talk about it, right? I said I don't want to talk about it. Here I am talking about it.
We have a Bitcoin podcast.
I just don't want to talk about it. As I'm saying, it's stupid. It's stupid. You're basically saying humans are incapable of understanding a very basic principle. That is your reasoning for upsetting all the people that enabled you to be on this stage talking about this thing.
Look, as a professional orange pillar, you know a lot of Bitcoiners have not been able to get through to even like one person.
It ain't because of this. It is not because of this.
I know, but I'm saying like that's don't, the frame of reference that they're coming from.
Don't let the people that refuse to learn something new off the hook. That is why they are unable. That is why there are a number of Bitcoiners that have unsuccessfully orange-pilled people. It is not their fault at the end of the day. Because even if they explained it poorly, the person eventually would come back and go, wait, I think that thing you were talking about, it's still around, right? Like, I want to know more. They're not successfully orange-pilling people because they choose to not understand. They choose not to take in new information. And so why should we change our language because you don't want to read? It's that simple. And I don't want to make this a religious thing, but someone said this the other day on one of the, you know, things that I listened to, and I didn't know this. So I thought I knew a lot of things, but I didn't know this one. So the Sunni and the Shia schism, right? Okay. There's two different sects of Muslims. I knew that much, and I never went any further than that because I was like, that's not my culture. I'm not from there. I don't need to know anymore. There's just two groups. So this guy was talking, and he was like, no, you splintered off from us. So he was saying the Sunnis are saying that to the Shia. You splintered off from us. Why are we debating who's different? Like, we haven't changed. You did, mm-hmm. Right? Okay, that's how I'm looking at this is like, you splinter off. You choose new language, you write your new books and manuals or whatever. You have to do all your corporate messaging. You have to use all this new language and your users are going to be completely alienated when they go onto the internet. So you're going to have to hold their hand the entire time. That, in my opinion, is the little pernicious part of all of this. Because I train you on bits and then you go out into the actual marketplace and you see sats. You go, I don't know what that is. I'm going to retreat back to my safe place, right? So right. everybody that they bring into that bits world is going to be very afraid of the ecosystem that exists right now. Mm-hmm. We don't zap bits on Noster. We zap sats on Noster, right? Even more fundamentally, it's just a zap. I got 200,000 zaps. I don't know. Maybe that's going to be like the terminology on Noster. So now we got zaps, bits, and sats, whatever. The point is that if they do this successfully, they're doing it. If it is Square, I believe it's Square. The more I'm saying it, I know it's Square. The Square services coffee shops and like business owners. So they're going to onboard an entire class of business owners to a different language than their customers. The people that have the Bitcoin that want to give it to you.
This is what I'm saying. I think it's inevitable and it could happen so quickly and it could actually onboard so many people because they think this is a less scary, less like cyberpunk.
So this is what my prediction. It's very similar to the guy that created the BTC Pay server. Like they are underestimating the F it, I'll do it myself in this community. Like if you do this, someone is going to create something that's going to compete with you. And Square and Jack Dorsey might think they have this like, oh, I've like bridged the divide. I'm like a corporate Bitcoiner and like, you know, I got the wizard beard and I go hang out with the Bitcoiners, but then I go back to my corporate palace, you know, whatever. Like, okay, cool. You might think you bridge that divide, but you're not like unapproachable. There are Bitcoiners that will say, nope, enough is enough. Jack Dorsey is trying to use logic to argue his way out of like the situation. It doesn't matter what you think. Like the community at large has chosen. You're just making a different choice.
Well, then how can you influence any change or improvement in Bitcoin?
No, what I'm saying is that it's not about changing. This is not a technical thing about Bitcoin. It doesn't matter what you call these things. You can call them flippity flops. It doesn't matter what they're called.
Flippity flops.
Right. The early, you could say the pioneers, the people who went out west first and named things when nobody else was there, they decided that a grouping of 100 million of these units in this code are called Satoshis. And everyone who came behind them either agreed to it, tried something different, couldn't get enough people to go along with it, and they just kind of folded in, or maybe they say, I have 0.009 Bitcoin, just to like, you know, whatever. They don't want to say Satoshis, they say a fraction every time. You got to throw some zeros in front of it, right?
Yeah.
So like, knowing the software side of things, it's like, yes, they should have always been called Bitcoins, right? That's what it always should have been. But because it's decentralized and there is no company behind it and there was no branding and marketing, the people chose to name that unit after the guy who created the thing. Now, was Jack Dorsey there also? Yes. Was he arguing for calling them Bitcoins then and bits and all this fun stuff? I don't know. Probably in some degree, shape, or form. He's just now forcing the issue.
Maybe he was right. Let's say he was. Let's say he was from the beginning saying, no, we need to call it bits. And people were like, no, we need to group them together. This will make the value go up faster. I don't know if that was the argument that was
being had.
Or even if it was someone else. But
it started from zero. So like either, you know, the pizza transaction, right? So either 20,000 Bitcoin or 10,000 Bitcoin are worth two pizzas or four pizzas or six pizzas. In the state of whatever state you're in from whatever company, like eventually you do the math. You're like, oh, these things are worth this many units. Mm-hmm. Like someone was willing to trade them for value. Right. I'm just saying it seems honest and it seems like there's no malice behind it. I just see a longer road to walk because you're starting off alienating an original group. And you're trying to onboard a new group that has basically been told forever that this is for criminals and, you know, vagabonds. So when they come over in your system, anything that's not that, they're going to still associate with that other statement.
Do you think people think we're vagabonds?
I think that when I was growing up, I don't hear it as much anymore, but when I was growing up, there was that term slacker that was thrown around a lot.
Okay.
I think people think that we are what slackers are when they grow up.
Really?
Yes.
You think people think I'm a slacker?
You don't have a job.
Well, right now.
I don't have a job.
I mean, 3 months ago, I did.
Right. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're a household. We are a household of three people.
Yeah.
None of us work.
I mean, that's not the definition.
That's the definition of a slacker.
I don't know. I think people think we work a lot. We have a lot. We have a lot of irons in the pot.
Regardless, my point is that we don't get up and we don't do the normal thing.
Yeah, that's right? True.
And so slackers were the people that didn't do the normal thing.
Okay.
I was a slacker. I don't need to sit in your class and listen to you talk about geometry because you don't understand geometry.
Oh, I was never a slacker. I was a straight A student.
Good for you. Good for you. And here we are meeting at the same place.
Yeah, you got me. You got me into the slacker lifestyle. I love it.
Turns out the slacker lifestyle ain't that bad.
It's not that bad. It's actually wonderful. Back to like what I was saying, just being like, I can actually rest for 10 minutes.
That's what I was doing in class. My allergies were killing me. I don't need to pay attention to the assistant football coach teaching geometry. So I'm going to take a nap. He tries to like point out that I'm not paying attention, calls on me while I'm sleeping. And I just casually walk up to the board, solve whatever problem he's like dealing with, go back to my desk and put my head back down. Like, you're not teaching me. So I'm a slacker because I know more than you? No.
Yeah.
No, I've never subscribed to that. I've never let that world tell me that because I'm not struggling to understand something and I'm like hoping that you will give me the knowledge that I'm like bad or like a slacker or whatever label you want to throw on me. It's like, no, we'll see how this all plays out. We'll see.
We'll see.
I think I was right.
Get the power back. Get the freedom back. Get an M-Pub and just start with that.
It's time for Satoshi for your thoughts, Ian.
That whole thing was Satoshi for my thoughts. Where are my Satoshis at, by the way? I have not been paid a single Satoshi for my thoughts from you.
You're right. You're right.
I'm filing a complaint for season 4. Instituted Satoshi for my thoughts and I never got a single Satoshi.
You got scammed for so many episodes.
Shit, Corey.
If
it had been bits for my thoughts, I would have gotten my bits though, right?
No, I think it's really interesting because I think school being very easy for you. I've always said this to Ian, like, I think he's smarter than most people. I've said this to Ian many times. I think he's usually the smartest person in the room. And he gives other people the benefit of the doubt that they might be smarter than him. But I can't even imagine, you know, when you're a child. I was like that too. We've all had teachers that aren't smarter than us, you know? It's a very frustrating experience. But then as an adult, you're a Bitcoiner and you're then living that experience like constantly. Have you in the last month specifically, since we last recorded, actually, have you felt a shift in how people are treating you?
Specifically in the last month? I mean, not really. Yes, but no, but yes, right? Like people are real quiet. Is what I will say. Like the people that I've had issues with in like Bitcoin conversations or whatever, they're real like vocal when it looks like things aren't going well. And they're real vocal and like ask those like fake probing questions, you know, like, oh, what's going on? I'm just trying to understand. I'm just asking questions, you know? When it's like in the news or it's somehow attached to Donald Trump because, you know, Donald Trump's bad. So like if he's involved with your thing, then obviously you're going to switch your position now. And it's like, I don't give who's involved. You know, I don't care who's involved. I know the people that are involved, actually involved. He doesn't matter, but they think they know something. So they pop in the conversation. But I think that like people are very quiet right now because it's now happened twice. Right. Like when I first understood it and I was like talking to a bunch of people and trying to get them to like look into it and read books, it went up to 70, went down to 15.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, oh, whew, dodged a bullet, you know? Okay. It went from 15 to roughly 115 What do you say to that? What do you say to the person that told you to get in on a thing that even if you had bought it at the peak last time, the tippy, tippy top last time, you'd still be up like 40%.
Right.
What do you say to that? Oh, I went and invested in rental properties instead. Okay. Oh, I went and bought a boat. Okay. Oh, I did everything else you did. Okay. Like, okay. Like, I can't tell you what to do. I told you what I was doing. You didn't even tell me you were buying a boat. But here we are. You have
bought a boat.
I'm just using it as an example.
Oh, like, can we go on their boat?
I'm just using that as an example, right? But like the point is that when I was sitting in class, taking it back to that previous statement, when I was sitting in class with my head on my table on my desk because my allergies were killing me and I was being yelled at for not understanding what was being taught, but for not paying attention to what was being taught. No one ever yelled at me and said, how come you're failing? Mm-hmm. It was just, why aren't you like giving me the respect that I deserve because I'm a teacher? And I'm like, listening to you doesn't give me anything else. But there was never a scoreboard. Your grades are kind of like, but it's not really a scoreboard. It doesn't prove out like, how you're going to turn out in the future.
Oh, definitely not.
Bitcoin kind of is a scoreboard. It's kind of a scoreboard.
Secret scoreboard.
I mean, it's a secret scoreboard, but there'll be signs, as they say, you know, like when you do buy your boat in 2025 and then I buy my boat in 2035 and I can fit your little boat on my boat in 2035.
Again, who is this boat owner?
I'm just saying 10 years of Bitcoin growth, I should be able to buy a boat the size of your boat.
All right.
Unless
I'm going to remember that.
No. Like what I'm saying
is, I'm getting boat.
Unless you're Michael Saylor, in which case 10 years of Bitcoin growth for me, I will not be able to buy a boat bigger than Michael Saylor. Right. But if we're peers, right, roughly, and you went out and bought a boat and I bought Bitcoin, I should be able to buy your boat in 5 to 10 years. Right. Like I should, if those were the two options. And for some people that's kind of happened where like I bought Bitcoin, they bought something else. They're all wishing they had bought Bitcoin. No matter what it is they bought, no matter what it is they thought was a better or like safer or they understood it or whatever, everyone just looks at the scoreboard and goes, I should have bought Bitcoin.
So I feel like very just naive about this, but do you really think everyone is thinking about it?
Again.
I feel like most people like forget about Bitcoin. I feel like when I talk to some, especially my friends about it, they're like, oh yeah, what price is it at? And I tell them, they're like, what?
I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about people who argue with me about it.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
They're real quiet.
Checking for it.
They're real quiet right now because there's nothing to say. There's nothing to say. It's winning.
What about other people? Like how are you feeling about their general response to it?
To me or to Bitcoin?
To Bitcoin, yeah.
Well, it's like I was saying the other day when we were trying to decide what to record about. Bitcoin doesn't care if you understand it, right? Like it just needs one more. It's just like when you're stacking sats, right? You just want to have more Bitcoin tomorrow than you did today, in theory, right? As long as Bitcoin acquires one more person that understands it and has one more than yesterday, we're in the right direction.
So there you go. There's your arguments for accepting bits. I got you there.
No, you didn't. Because it depends on who's teaching you about Bitcoin. So if I'm teaching you about Bitcoin, I'm never going to say bits, right? And I'll educate you like your cousin who was out here helping us in the backyard, right?
Shout out to Cheyenne.
I got to talk to him for like 2-3 days, multiple hours. You know, we're just talking about all these things as we're like doing manual labor. And he understands a lot, but he's going to understand a lot, unfortunately or fortunately, from my frame of reference, because I'm the person that's giving him the answers to his questions, right? He understands sats, right? He understands Satoshi Nakamoto. He doesn't question that, right? Mm-hmm. But he also understands, I would hope, that that's not a requirement. That's just like a social contract that we're all signing when we call it sats.
Yeah.
If you want to go, and I'll say this to him, for example, like if you want to run your business and tell people you accept bits, that's fine. I can't stop you from doing that. But you're going to confuse some people. And that's your choice. Like, you're making that choice, and we'll see how it plays out. I wouldn't do it, right? I'm starting a Bitcoin company. I wouldn't do that. But I'm not Jack Dorsey. So, like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's wrong. Maybe we're both right. Who knows? But in my app, you will see Bitcoin denominated in what we call Satoshi terms.
Yeah.
Right?
Sats.
We're never going
to say Satoshi. It doesn't. It's sats.
It says yeah. Sats. We're never going to change that. Let me phrase this. And this is another important part about this, like bits versus sats versus all that, all those things. This is literally just a drop down. Like, you can just pick how you want to see it. So, like, if you're actively making an app and you're making this change and you don't offer sats, that's another thing that's like suspect. You're basically saying, yeah, we don't care about you people. If it's just a choice, I can see it in dollars. I can see it in pounds. I can see it in Zimbabwe dollars, but I can't see it in sats. Damn, that's cold.
I love the passion that you brought to today's episode.
It's just a silly argument.
I'm excited to have this conversation with you for, like, honestly, the rest of our lives as Bitcoin just grows and grows in adoption. It's exciting. I'm here for it.
If 50% plus one of all the users of NextBlock want us to denominate it in bits or whatever, I will gladly do that for them.
Oh, NextBlock is a democracy?
It's not that it's a democracy.
I mean, I'm okay with it.
It's not that it's a democracy. All I'm saying is that if it's the majority of our user base plus one, I'm not throwing away sats. I will add your version to the list of choices.
For view, yeah.
And if you're not doing that, Jack Dorsey, then I'm suspect.
You know, Jack Dorsey is a longtime listener of the Flirting with Bitcoin podcast. He's definitely listening right now.
when Next Block is Next Block, he will be.
Oh, I hope so. Hi, Jack.
I hope you hear this one.
Get the power back. Get the freedom back. Get an M pub. And just start with that.